morning. My name is Janet Galante, and I'm one of the ministers here at First Christian. It's so good to worship together today. I hope you've been here the last few weeks. We are in the middle of a series called Dumpster Diving. I've loved this series. So far, we've been seeing how we take the trash of our lives, the things that are less appealing, the places that are hurt or hard, and we bring them before God. And we trust that God can do something with them, that God can redeem them, heal them, God can restore them and use them. And you know, I get to work with our groups ministry a bit here. I've been in a lot of groups that are doing this study every week. And I've just got to say, if you're not in a group, I hope you'll get in one. We still have 3 weeks left of this study. There are so many ways you can get connected. On a Sunday morning down the hall, we have a bunch of groups every hour, and also on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Because God is doing something through this series, through this lesson, as we learn what it means to bring these things, these hard things, before God. But I know the premise of this might make you a little uncomfortable. It can make you squirm a little bit as we think about it. It makes me think about how this summer I had the opportunity to visit a friend of mine, Katie, in Germany, where she lives. And when I got there, I learned very quickly that I had to learn how trash worked in Germany. It was a very complicated process. She told me that they sort it into 4 different trash cans. I think we have a picture here. You see, there's 3 trash cans, actually, and that bag in the front, I asked her about that, and she said, "That is very specifically yellow bag trash," which is a specific thing, so it wasn't just some extra bag there. They have 4 different ways that they sort their trash, and they do this in their homes, they do this everywhere they go. And my first day there, I had to ask Katie for help, because she was heading out to work, and I said, "Hey, what do I do with my stuff throughout the day?" And she told me, "Oh, you know what, I'm in a rush, I don't have time to show you, just hold on to it, set your trash to the side, and I'll help you go through it later." Go through it later? That sounded terrible. I mean, can you imagine just thinking through all the trash you produce in a day? I was thinking, okay, so every single used tissue, she'll see that. Every single chocolate bar wrapper, she'll see those. And there will be plenty. She'll see the apple that I started to eat but didn't finish because I went back to eating chocolate. She'll see every little thing that I ate, and we'll go through it together. That just didn't sound very fun. It sounded kind of gross and embarrassing. But the fact was that I needed her to help me go through my trash, or else I wouldn't have known what to do with it. And that's what we are learning through this series, too, that we need God. We need to bring this stuff to God if we're going to figure out what to do with it, that God has something to do with our trash. God has something in mind for it. And so far, we've taken a look at what God can do with our failures. How does God work in our failures? And we've talked about how God even works through our suffering. And we're going to take a look this week and see what else we can find. I think this week we find time. Time. The moments of our days, the weeks, the years, the hours, can end up in the dumpster, can it? That we can waste our times, we can waste our lives, that our very lives can end up in the trash if we misuse it. What a waste. I think that speaks to a lot of our biggest fears, doesn't it? It's a pretty heavy fear that our lives wouldn't count, wouldn't matter, that our lives could be so meaningless that we would look back and think that it was a waste, that we missed it. But we see this all around us, don't we? There are so many ways that we waste our time these days. We watch TV, we play on our phones, we throw our lives into all sorts of things just trying to fill the time. We get trapped into these patterns of idleness and uselessness in so many different ways. The modern world really makes it easy for us to waste time. And one of the biggest ways we do this is on our phone. I bet a lot of us do it. We pull out our phone, we swipe through, we're always on our phone, stuck in whatever is going on in this world. There's a word that we use sometimes to describe this. That word is doom scrolling. Doom scrolling. I'm going to talk about this word a bit today. It's about how we get stuck in this cycle, just scrolling through social media, our news feeds, just letting time pass by. Maybe you've never heard that word before, and that's okay. It's a newer term. But to describe what it is, I want you to check out. We have this song. It's a new hit song. It's amazing. You're going to love it, and this will tell us all about doom scrolling. So turn your attention to the screen.
Doom scrolling, I'll be doom scrolling. looking for something that'll get me rolling on the floor with the laughter or the couch in tears. Whatever it takes to mask my fears, that's why I'm a doom scrolling. I'll be a doom scrolling. No worries at all about this wasted time. Cause when I'm doom scrolling, everything is fine.
All right, give it up for Ethan, yeah. You know, some churches, they have celebrity pastors, and we have that. So I don't know what that is, but that's what we have. That's Ethan Magnus, our senior minister over here. But I hope you weren't distracted by that amazing musical ability. I hope you heard some of the lyrics of that song right there. He said, doom scrolling, you're looking for something to get me rolling on the floor with laughter. That's what we're doing. We're trying to find something to distract us, to pull us out of what we're in. He said, whatever it takes to mask my fears. It lets us pretend that everything around us is fine. We just don't want to go there. We don't want to think about our fear, the doom that's all around us in the world. Have you done that before? You find yourself reaching into your pocket, you pull it up, and let's see, I tend to find myself on Instagram. Maybe it's Facebook, TikTok, something else. I'm scrolling through my feed right now. I'm looking at a picture of a rabbit, and now another cute rabbit. It's getting petted. Oh, that's adorable. And I just find myself looking at thing after thing after thing, scrolling, searching, distracting, ignoring the people around me. You know, I think I'll just do this for a minute. I don't have to pay attention to anything else. That's where we find ourselves sucked into this world. We get stuck there, and we waste our time just doing anything we can to make ourselves feel good about life. Doom scrolling is how we disengage in the world around us. You know, that was such a good song. I actually think, let's play a little bit more of it. We want to hear what else he has to say about doom scrolling.
The economy's great, I fixed the leak in the shower and I'm already in shape. No work to be done and no papers to write. From where I sit, there's not a problem in sight. And kids don't get cancer and we all get our wish. I'm sure that racism is over and the poor are all rich. And since none of this is real and I don't need to worry, I'll just sit on the couch, cause I'm in no hurry. Doom scrolling, I'll be a doom scrolling. Looking for something that'll get me rolling on the floor with the laughter or the couch in tears. Whatever it takes to mask my fears, that's why I'm a doom scrolling. I'll be a doom scrolling. No worries at all about this wasted time. Cause when I'm doom scrolling, everything is fine.
All right, yeah, I know. That's not an amazing, that's going to be a new hit soon. If you want to hear the rest of that song, there's another verse, so you can go to Ethan's Instagram and check that out. I'm sure he would love for this song to be seen by the entire world. But I love that song. I do love all of the lyrics he has there. It really speaks to what we're talking about right now. It's how we doom scroll. We avoid our problems. He says, there's not a problem in sight. The economy's fine, racism, cancer, that's all gone. The poor are rich. Those are just a few examples of the things we're trying to kind of bury and get away from when we doom scroll. Doom scrolling describes how we want to put our heads in the sand to avoid the doom around us. We want to bury ourselves in something so we don't have to deal with it. But what happens is we end up simply wasting our lives, wondering where they went. And the word doom scrolling, and a lot of that speaks to your phone, using that to pass the time. I think of that for all the social media, the different apps that we use. Maybe it's TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it could be, that we find ourselves scrolling on. And if that's you, if that's something that you're prone to, I do want you to recognize these apps were actually designed to do that, to keep you on them. That there are experts behind each one of them thinking, all right, how can we keep them on the phone? What's the next thing we can show them? Well, how can we calculate this in a way that they will watch more and more and more videos? So the world around us is helping us put our time in the dumpster. And that's something that we don't want to accept. We don't want to think that that's what God has for us. We want to find more than that. And it's not just social media that forces us to put our lives in the dumpster. There's so many other ways that we doom scroll. Maybe it's Netflix or TV or watching different sports games, whatever it might be. I know for me, I watch way too much TV. That's my temptation. That it's one thing to watch a movie here and there or an episode here and there, but I could watch episode after episode after episode. It's like I'm compelled to keep watching that show. And that's not what I want to do. Maybe for you, it's the news. You watch the horrors unfold, unable to look away. Or maybe it's something that's not related to technology at all. You can doom scroll with your job, sitting at your desk, counting down the hours, getting through the week, just living for the weekend. We can doom scroll with our hobbies, playing video games, golfing, shopping, finding whatever we can to distract ourselves, to escape life. And I want to be clear, as I list all of those things, that those things aren't all bad. You can use your phone, you can watch TV, you can go shopping, but we can use all of those things in a way that's harmful. It's one thing to watch an hour of TV, but it's another to watch it for 6-7 hours and stay on the couch. And that's not how we want to spend our lives. We don't want to use these things to chase happiness and distraction. We don't want to use these things to escape our lives, to waste them and throw it away. Because God calls us to so much more than that. God calls us to something else. God calls us to more than just getting by. God has an invitation for you today. God is inviting you to a meaningful life. God is inviting you to more than a life that will end up in the dumpster. God is calling you to move from the mundane into the meaningful, because God has meaning for your life. No matter where you are right now, no matter how dreary or dull your life might seem, no matter what doom you're facing even, God has a purpose for you. And God wants you to move from doom scrolling to difference making. And what we have to do is see the opportunities that God is putting right in front of us, right where you are today, that God has these all around you. God has put you in a unique place, in a unique time for such a moment as this, to make a difference. God has equipped you for this. So will we use these opportunities, or will they end up in the dumpster? We see all throughout the Bible that there are plenty of stories of people making a difference with their lives. And the people in the Bible weren't doing something spectacular already. A lot of them were going about their daily lives, just doing their thing. And God came around and empowered them to make a difference. They used the opportunities right before them. So we're going to take a look at one of the best examples of this today. We see in the Bible the story of Joseph. Now, Joseph had a hard life. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. I mean, get that. Think of that. His brothers were so jealous of him. They hated him so much that they sold him into slavery. And this is where we find Joseph. He's sold to Potiphar in Egypt, and he's working as a slave there. Let's see how God uses him. It says, Joseph found favor in Potiphar's eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. So what's Joseph's first opportunity to make a difference? Slavery. He's a slave. He's enslaved here. And as a slave, he did the best he could with what was entrusted to him. He's facing all the doom in the world. But he cared for everything he could that was in front of him. And that's the thing I want you to see here, that whatever situation you're in, God has an opportunity for you. Even if your circumstances are bad right now, God is still putting opportunities right in front of you. Opportunities to do good in the world and to make a kingdom impact. But Joseph's story actually doesn't stop here. Wherever Joseph is, he continues to seek to do whatever the best thing is right in front of him. So where does he end up next? Well, prison. We'll see what he does in prison. It says, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Now, you know, honestly, I think if I put myself in Joseph's shoes, I'm imagining if I'm in prison, that really seems like the best place to waste time, to mark time, to just wait for it to get by, to get out and be free and to be in a new world, a new life. But Joseph doesn't do that. Even in prison, Joseph cared for the people around him. He started running the place. He started doing the best he could with every person who he encountered. We see throughout this story that the people came to Joseph wanting help. They needed help interpreting their dreams. They were stressed and anxious and overwhelmed by these dreams. And Joseph didn't have to say yes to that. But he did. He helped them. He said yes to one, to another, and the third. And when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, that created a new opportunity for Joseph. He ends up in charge of even more. Genesis 41, it says, "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you.' So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt.'" So Joseph's in a new place in his life now. He's out of prison, he's out of slavery, and he has a new opportunity. We see it tells us Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance that the land produced plentifully, Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand in the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. And what I love here is Joseph has power now. And power is often an opportunity, sometimes an opportunity to waste time. Joseph doesn't waste the abundance that even he's given. He takes care of that. Whether he's in prison or in power, Joseph continues to seek the good of the people around him. He doesn't miss an opportunity to do good. We see next that the 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you to do." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. So wherever Joseph was, he used every single moment to make a difference. He made every moment count, every opportunity count, whether he's running Potiphar's household or interpreting dreams in prison or getting the world around him through a famine. He missed no opportunity to do good. He saw opportunities to do kingdom work all around him, everywhere he went. And Joseph had it pretty rough. I want you to see that he found missional opportunities even in the worst situations. If anyone could have had an excuse to be doom scrolling, to be wasting time, to be stuck in the dreary, dull, and mundane, it was Joseph. He was a slave. That's pretty bad. He was in prison. That sounds pretty awful too. What a great excuse to waste time. And then he had power. And when you have power, sometimes you've got to wonder, well, what else do I need to work for? I've gotten here. Why would you want to do more? But instead, Joseph used every circumstance, every situation, every opportunity to make a difference in the world around him. As a slave, he blessed his master's household. As a prisoner, he took care of other prisoners. And in power, he used his power so a whole nation wouldn't suffer and the world would have a chance at survival. So because of this, I can tell you today, whatever situation you're in, no matter how hard it is, whatever obstacles you are facing, I know that God is placing opportunities in front of you, that God has something for you there, that God is giving you a chance to make a difference in the world, no matter where you are, that God is calling you to the same thing that Joseph was called to. We are called to steward the life we've been given and to make a difference in the world. God has entrusted you with your life, with your gifts, with your opportunities. Don't waste it. Don't throw it away. Don't take that life and put it right in the dumpster, because you are uniquely placed wherever you are to make a difference in the world. Even in the most mundane situation, God has something for you there. Nothing is too far gone to be used. We see that God calls us and invites us into kingdom work wherever we are. This is a truth that we see all throughout the Bible. It's not just the story of Joseph. We see this in the book of Jeremiah. The Israelites are in exile here. They've been cast out of their homeland. They've left everything they've ever known, and they don't have any hope of returning anytime soon. And we get to see what God says to them. It says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." The Israelites are in exile. They're in the worst situation they could possibly imagine. And look at this. God says, not wait it out. God doesn't tell them to wait it out, to wait until the next thing comes. God says, plant gardens. Settle down. Put roots here. Seek the prosperity of the city you're in. God says, do good. Bring beauty into the world. Make a difference. Don't just wait for your situation to get better. And I love the image we see here of planting gardens and eating what they produce. I know, practically speaking, this passage is talking about that they should plant gardens, they should grow food and have a harvest and crops. But imagine that wherever you are, wherever God has put you on your little patch of ground, that God is calling you to sow seeds of goodness, to plant something, to see what could grow there. And to know that whatever you are sowing there, God is going to make something bloom, that God will yield something from that, from the life you've been given, that God has something for you. Because I truly believe that this work I'm asking you to do, this work we are called to do, isn't a fruitless work. This is a work where God will bring something, God will do something. We fully trust and believe that today. You know, I have this concern as I look around and see all the Christians in the world, myself included, as we waste time, I have this concern that we are being given missional opportunities and we're wasting them. That we are being given opportunities that other people don't have, that we are each being given a unique chance to make a kingdom impact in the world, and we're missing it. That we're not seeing it. We're so distracted by everything else going on that we're not seeing the good that God is calling us to do in the world. Maybe for you, I don't know, you could be a student. A lot of you are students of any age, and you're spending, what, 6+ hours a day in school. You're there, and you're just thinking, I just got to get through this until my life starts after school. You're not thinking of this as valuable time, opportunities that God has given you, and you're throwing it away. Maybe you're working, you're in a cubicle, and you're staring at your computer all day. You're in an office, and you're just thinking, okay, I'm here 9 hours a day. That is plenty. I don't want to do anything more than I have to do. I'll get my paycheck and leave. And you're not realizing that God has placed people around you, that God has put you there for a reason. So we put 9 more hours in the dumpster. Maybe you're retired. You have some time on your hands. Maybe you're hanging out at the beach these days. I hope you get to do that. And that's awesome if you are healthy and wealthy enough to enjoy your retirement. But are you ignoring some of the mission opportunities God has for you? Are you using your retirement to sow good into the world? Are you seeing what God might have right before you? Or maybe you're on your phone. And this one's me. Yeah, I think if you looked at my screen time report every week, you would be able to tell. That's me. I'm using my phone way too much, hours and hours of a day that are spent looking at this thing instead of looking at the people around me, instead of paying attention to what God is doing in the world. Gosh, maybe it's 4, 5, 6 hours, more than that, 7, 8, 9. I don't know what it is for you, but either way, it's probably too much that we are all glued to this, sucked into this world, and throwing away our time, our opportunities. That list could go on and on, that we see so many different ways that we throw our time in the dumpsters. But did you know, I did some research on this, I think this might surprise some of you, that we actually have 24 hours in a day. That some of you, you have 24 hours in your whole day, and we can still get to the end of the year and wonder, what did I do with them? That as we look at the sum of our lives, we find ourselves putting hour after hour in the dumpster, that we don't know where it went. that with those 24 hours that God has given us, you and me, I know I can so easily end up putting it back in the dumpster as I'm looking for different things to disengage from the world around me. God is giving us treasures, all of these things right here. They're treasures, they're gifts. God has given these to us. Are we using them? Are we using the gift of 6 hours in a classroom, 9 hours at work, 5 hours of free time with your family in the evening? Are you using the gift of a financially stable retirement to make a difference in the world? Or are we doom scrolling? You know, if you're alive right now, you have time. You have been given this gift of time. This is something to celebrate, something to honor, and to recognize that God has given us this. And instead, it's so easy for us to be pulled into all these other things, these distractions, these doom-scrolling ways to avoid everything else in the world. But God has so much more in store for us. We believe this today. We see this promise to us in Ephesians 2. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show us the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we, all of us, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." It says we were dead in our transgressions and sins. We were stuck doing all the wrong things, spending our lives the wrong ways. But God made us alive. But God pulled us out of our doom. But God saved us. And what did God save us for? Well, a lot of things, really. We see God saved us so we might experience God's grace and kindness through Jesus. But that's not all. God saved us for something else too. In verse 10, it says, "God saved us and created us to do good works." That's what God saved us for, that we could do these good works. There is work for you to do, wherever you are. God has work prepared for you to do. This is a promise we see in Scripture. There is good work for you. God is calling you to plant gardens wherever you are, to stop viewing your life as mundane and to engage in meaningful work instead, to move from doom scrolling into difference making. So let's rescue our time from the dumpster. Let's see what God has for us. Don't wait until God puts you in a new situation before you make a difference. God is calling you right now, wherever you are. God has something for you. I think for some of us, we might say, well, I would make a difference. I would go out and do kingdom work, but all God's given me is a 9-to-5 job. Or all God's given me is 2 kids to raise. Or all God's given me is a huge pile of homework and extra work at the office. All God's given me is a group of friends that I see once a week. And some of those situations are hard. I know many of you are facing unique challenges right now. There are hard situations. We can feel overwhelmed by doom. But I'm not sure that that's an excuse. As we see in the story of Joseph, he made a difference. He used those opportunities. As we see with the Israelites, they were instructed to plant gardens where they were. So I know, and I believe, and I trust that God has something for you. God has work for you to do wherever you might be. So will you invite God into the dumpster? Will you go into it and present all of these things before God and see what God says to do with them? Just like I had to invite my friend Katie to look at my trash. It wasn't pleasant. It actually started this joke about how much chocolate I ate, since every day she got to count how many wrappers there were as we threw them away together. But from that, I got to learn what to do with my trash. And we're going to learn that together, too. That God has a plan for all of these things that wind up in the dumpster, that God calls you to more, that God has kingdom work for you to do. And if you're not sure where to get started, we have four steps that we've been using. We've been calling this the dumpster diving process. This is the process we use together to see what God wants to do with the trash of our lives. So I'm going to go through this process right now, and I hope you will give yourself some time, actually think through these questions, reflect with me, engage in this spiritual work. So the first step we have of the dumpster diving process is called recognize. Recognize. How are we wasting time? Do you know? Some of you, maybe when I started this message, you were already able to think of, yep, I do that and I do that. You knew how you're wasting time. But think about it right now. How are you wasting time? Opportunities. What's something you wrote off as mundane that God wants you to know is meaningful? We recognize these things together. Bring them to mind right now as we bring these before God. The second step is replace. How do you need to replace your habits of doom scrolling, whatever those habits might be? What do you need to do to rescue your time from the dumpster? Maybe you need to set screen limits, screen time limits on your phone. That's a thing that I know many people have found helpful. Or if it's a certain app, I know some people who have found other boundaries to do this. I talked to a college student last week who said he wasn't going to follow our college Instagram account because he follows 10 people, and he wants to keep it that way so he doesn't get sucked into Instagram in that way. What's your boundary that you need to set there so you cannot be doom scrolling? Or maybe it's your perspective when it comes to thinking about work, that instead of thinking of it as just making a living, you think of it as a place where you can make a difference. That God has put you around those people for a purpose. How do you rescue that time, pull it back out of the dumpster, and see what God has for you there? How is God calling you to be a blessing? Maybe it's your retirement. I know some of you have great, fruitful retirements, but some of us need to hear the challenge that when we're retired, God has given us a gift, this beautiful, amazing gift of time. How are you going to use it? Maybe you will keep going to the beach and playing golf, but you'll see those things as opportunities to be on mission. How will you turn those into missional opportunities instead? Or maybe you're in school, and you need to stop thinking of school as just a place to pass the time, but to realize God has you there for a purpose. That time you won't get back. Gosh, you might even miss school someday. There will be people you're interacting with right now, professors you could be kind to, you could be a light to as you are in school, that God has something for you there. God is calling you to make a difference, even there. What do you need to replace? Is there a habit you need to replace, a perspective? Do you need to open your eyes in a situation? So step two is replace. Our third step is to reach out, because it can be hard to figure out what God is calling you to. It can be hard to do meaningful work by yourself. So find someone to dream with. Do you have a friend, a coworker? Maybe you can say, hey, could we start a Bible study during our lunch hour together? I've heard that story here before, that there are some people at FCC who do that. They study the Bible together, and it's been such a transformational thing. Or maybe you turn to your friend and you say, what would it look like if instead of taking a nap after church on Sundays, we went out and served the hungry. We cooked food for them. Because one of the best places you can get started as you need to reach out is by joining a serving team. We have so many serving teams here. We do have one that feeds the hungry every single week in Johnson City. And come link arms together as a church that we could go out and empower each other, bless each other as we go out to bless the world. That's something God's called us to do, to find someone to partner with as we move into difference making. And then our last step is resurrect. We ask that God would resurrect our lives, that as we recognize, as we replace and reach out, we know that this work is truly actually the work of God. It's not in our hands. We ask that God would empower us. We believe this promise that in Ephesians 2, it tells us, you have been saved by the power of God's grace. You've been saved by this power that was strong enough to conquer death, to raise Jesus to life. And that power, well, that power is strong enough to work in you and me. We trust that promise today that God has work for you to do. It's out there waiting. So this is the step where we just surrender to God. We trust God's power is at work. You know, God wants to redeem our time, to rescue it from the dumpster. God doesn't want us looking back at our lives wondering where every moment went. No, we want to pull that time out today to move from mundane into meaningful, from doom scrolling into difference making. And I pray that today all of our eyes might be open, that we can see these opportunities that God is giving every single one of us today. I'm going to close in prayer with these words from the book of Hebrews. And as I read these, I just want to ask, will you let these words wash over you? Believe them today as I pray these words over us. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may God equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in us and what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."